We are going to have a hymn sing this morning. What that means is you can pick any song you would like from any of the three song books that we have. The 101 book, the chorus book, or the regular hymn book. All right? So we're going to keep singing for a while. And following that, then Brother Siebel will preach. We're going to start with number 27 in the 101 book, and then from there, it'll be up to you. Number 27 in the 101 book.
Thank you.
gather together.
Assurance 150 from the Joyful Noise book.
Okay. 150 in the Horse book. Blessed Assurance. Amen for that. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we have that assurance.
Amen.
Absent from the body, to be present with the Lord.
Yours in the Lord's service, Pastor Ray. So,
We made the announcement earlier about his need for a motorcycle or a motorbike, bike, whatever, so he can reach some of these remote villages, which he could not get to with public transportation. And we're thankful for those who contributed so that he could now have that bike and be able to do his ministry. So Amen. Just wanted to read that and say thank you to everybody in the church who contributed and helped with that. And along that same note, we'll be glad for anyone who would like to contribute to toward their monthly support. If you would like to do so, take one of the envelopes in the back there, put your gift in it, and mark for Pastor Reddy, and put it in the regular offering box. So I'm sure we would appreciate that. Don't forget, of course, as always, when we have a special guest speaker, we have a love offering that we take each time. The blue box back there is where those go. I believe that's it as far as announcements go that I'm aware of. I think I got to everybody, but if you didn't receive the prayer bulletin and would like one, they're on the back table there next to Sam in the sound booth. I apologize for being late on those. Had some computer issues, but I've managed to get a result enough so that we could have the bulletin this week. So hope those will be a blessing to you. Keep praying for everybody that's on that list. Okay. We'll get to our singing in just a moment here. We're not going to take the time to go over it, but we're on to Romans chapter 10, verse 15, excuse me, the last verse of the passage I would like to go over. So keep working on that. Hope that passage has been a blessing to you as we've been trying to learn it. Okay, I will take another one. Yes, Marge.
In the hymn book, 779B.
Stands the timer, singing. 779B. one course book.
Yeah.
okay? I saw Kathy Howley first, and then Sammy will be next. Go ahead.
796.
A number that high can only be in the book.
Oh, yeah.
Heaven came down. Glory filled my soul. Let's stand, please, as we sing the 302.
Said, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. That's what you were all doing, sing them over again to me. Good, good. That was great. You enjoy that? Yes. Amen. We do well. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers low. What is it?
Sweet within love.
You want me to sing it for you? No, thank you. Oh, no. Oh, Ma and I made a deal. I'm not singing. All right. No. Good to be here. Amen. That was exciting. Take your Bibles, if you would, and thank God for them. I'm glad when I said take your Bibles and turn that you took your Bible and turned. Make sense? I will not elaborate it this time. Psalm 33 and verse number 12. This is a day of many occasions. One of which is Veterans Day. And I know sometimes in church you're not tied down to topic choice by outward occasions. But this is a great nation. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the people whom God has chosen for his own inheritance. Psalm 33 and verse 12. God has blessed our land. God has blessed our nation. God has blessed our people here within our nation. And I'm sure glad he has. But the thinner the density of fundamental Christianity is in this nation, the less God has to bless. God wants to bless this nation, but it takes a fiber and a material within the nation for God to bless. My children learned early in age, the more they behaved, the more they got. The better they were mannered, the more they received. And I think God has a similar mindset in the idea of America. When we walked away from God, God is desperate to find something in America to bless. If it wasn't for independent Bible-believing churches like yours and others dotted all across this great land, there wouldn't be much left for God to bless. And so we want God to bless America, so therefore we must stay strong. There are churches right now who are either beginning a service, finishing up a service, starting a service, and God sees that and God says, I'm going to bless America for another day. I'm going to bless America perhaps for another week. I'll bless America. And I'm not quoting God directly, but I think God is looking for a people that he can bless and a church that he can bless. And you ought to have the expectation that God's going to bless it as you continue to march as soldiers, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus. What? Going on before. And so we need to have an awareness of that as a body of believers here. Recognize also the strength of this nation rests in your hands. It rests in the hands of God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian folks. Righteousness exalteth a nation, Bible would tell us, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so when God sees that there is an element of righteousness here in this particular part of my, what state we in? In this part of the country, I take comfort in that. It was his name escapes me. Who made that? Come on now. Who? Let me think for a moment. This is extemporaneous speaking, so I don't have it written down. Wait, what? Send me a text. Do give me a sign language for the gentleman I'm trying to think of who had Ocean Grove preach.
Billy Sunday.
Now, what was he going to say? Because that just left me too. You think I'm joking? I'm not. I'll tell you, laugh. You know, hold up a little sign, laugh. What did he say?
He couldn't
remember where he was when he was praying. Okay. Hold on to that because I'm going to make another statement. Billy Sunday and I had a lot in common. So when you look at me, you look at Billy Sunday. Amen. All right, tell me again, Ma. All right. Yeah. Now it's coming back. Can you imagine standing on the pulpit in front of a bunch of a congregation and not remember where you were? Billy Sunday. And that was the way he would preach. And Ma Sunday, Billy Sunday's wife was known as Ma Sunday, but she would sit a little closer up here. But anyway, he would be praying. And he'd be saying, Lord, bless this congregation here in this wonderful town of Ma, what town are we in? Is that the name of a town?
No.
How about a street?
If you're in Catasauqua.
Who?
Catasauqua.
I'm glad I wasn't brought up in this town. I can never write it. I never mail or get anything. Amen. It is good. Some people on the outside think Christian folks never laugh or rejoice in what God's done on the inside. Amen. It's good. You know? He did have a short-lived memory. Don't let what you can't do stop you from doing what you can do. I can't sing, but that's not going to stop me from singing. Some of you wish I would stop singing. Song leader and his wife are looking down. Yeah, he's got the message. He got it. He got it. Yeah. But we need, because sometimes We prohibit ourselves from doing what God wants us to do because God got the idea we can't do it. But you certainly can do something for God. I've said it several times in times past, but only one life will soon be only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so we need to have a desire to do something for God. And our kids in school, my family, they get tired of me saying, do something. Do something for God. If you never do anything, you can't correct a mistake. But if you do something, you can correct a mistake if you went down the wrong path. So do something for God. I want to talk just briefly two lives of preachers. One is, I'm going to talk briefly. And so you can eradicate that. And I'll think of another one. There's probably plenty more than one more. But in your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 14. And I want you to open there and stay there. And we're going to talk for just a few moments on the subject of we want America back. We want America back. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. The density of sin has gone stronger and stronger in America. We have redefined it. We have harmed ourselves by not calling sin, sin. I jotted down here in my notes, America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, it'll cease to be great. Many of you heard that before, and many of you heard it many times. But America is great because America is good. If it ever ceases to be good, it'll cease to be great. We have had an enemy, and that's the devil, and anybody he can enlist for his team to stand with him against righteousness. And America had an abundance of righteousness at one time. Then over a period of time, the abundance of righteousness gets thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. I was at a church yesterday, and they had a little dinner, and they gave me a glass of iced tea, and I didn't want to ask for more iced tea, so I kept pouring water into the iced tea, and I drink some more, and I pour more water into the iced tea. And then I would drink some more, and I pour more water into the iced tea. And you know what I was getting? By the time I was done, I didn't have iced tea anymore. I had just a little bit of it. And in our nation, we have stretched righteousness so thin that it is hard-pressed to find a righteous people. Songwriter said, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. And I think I mentioned to you last time, but the song's been changed. Things I used to do, I do them all the more. Can you think of that a little bit? There are churches who have opened up the door to social drinking. And it's the things I used to do, they're now saying I do them all the more. And so we need to be a people who recognize God has ordained right and wrong. And we need to be living by that. Well, somebody said, well, that's legalistic. Living by God's principles is never legalistic. We have set standards and boundaries within our home. That's not legalistic. That's living the way God wants us to live. That's doing what God wants us to do, and we sure would like to know what God wants us to do. You all play baseball. You get up, you hit a ball, you run to first base, and you decide, I'm going to run to third base. Well, that's too legalistic. I'm not playing this kind of game. And it doesn't work that way. God has expectations for us. Righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. Some time ago, and I wasn't here, I don't think any of you were here, but in 1919, the Communist Party wrote a manifesto concerning the destruction of America. And I don't have that before me, I just have a few concepts that I believe were in it. And I'm going to read them for you. They wanted to destroy America. This is back in 1919. On their list was corrupt the youth. Corrupt the youth. Number two, take them away from religion. To destroy America, they could do it without firing a shot. Get them overtly interested in sex. Number four on her list, and this is a condensed, make them superficial. Get them interested in playing things. I don't know how some of these computer things play or whatever they do, but they play something there as if it was real, but it's not real. It's superficial. It's make-believe. And it carries into destruction of a culture. Destroy their ruggedness. Amen. My observation, and with our Christian school, men ought to be men. Physical weaknesses come into our very physical being. Not everybody can be like me and press 200 pounds with one hand. I understand, so don't sit out there. But There needs to be a certain amount of degree of ruggedness amongst the men. You always see that, you know, I can't open this jar of applesauce, so I hand it to my wife so she can open it for me. Just don't buy that brand anymore, will you? It's very embarrassing. But we need to rebuild. Ladies, you can have some stamina. We don't want to call it ruggedness. But we need to rebuild stamina in our culture, and especially in our Christian culture. There's a foreign mission field that takes and needs folks like you all to say, I've served the Lord for a period of time here. Now I'm going to go over there and serve God. The Communist Party wanted to destroy America. Can you understand why? The devil would put into a group of people on the other side of the ocean to want to destroy. We had a lot. But we had a lot of righteousness. And we knew that righteousness exalted a nation. And if they wanted to take over this nation, one of the ways they do is just destroy righteousness. Because that makes the people weak. Sin doesn't strengthen you. Sin weakens you. And so the more sin that the devil can dump into this land, the weaker this land's going to be. So I'm not a rocket scientist, but I think if we got minimized the amount of sin or the density of sin in this nation, in this country, in this area, if we reduce that, we would be a stronger nation. Sin is destructive. It's weakening. And so we need to kick out sin. I said to you a couple times ago, what we need in America, what do we need? We need more sin. You cannot get rid of a toxin until you know what a toxin is. You can't get rid of a germ until you know what a germ is. And it's hard to get rid of sin. You don't need to know it experientially, but it's hard to get rid of sin if we don't know what sin is. And for the culture, what they did is they said that's not sin. Two people living together, that's not sin. That's just a different lifestyle. Two people living together, the same sex, that's not sin. That's just a little different lifestyle. And it behooves us as God's children to say, that's sin. That's sin. That's sin. Well, don't be judgmental. You know, that's one of the things, you fundamentals. You're just so critical. You're just so, you've got no leeway. Somewhere along the way, God has ordained his children to know there are 10 commandments and not 10 suggestions, right? And so we need to carry that news out. And there is, and God wants there to be, a strong light even here in this place. Prior to the service in between, I was talking with the gentleman back yonder in the... Sam, is that Sam? Yeah. Sam? I was talking with Sam about some of the changes. And he made reference to the 50s. And he was talking about things that were different in the 50s and so forth and so on. And I thought to myself, he read my notes. So I opened up my Bible and I have here in the 60s. And he was saying the 50s. So I need to make a change, if you don't mind, so I concur with him or he concurs with me, one or the other. But in that period of time, things were being changed. Righteousness exalted the nation. And the devil knew we need to destroy America. The devil knew that the devil knew that what he wanted to do was destroy this land because it was a righteous land. It was a God. Now, it wasn't perfect, but it was a whole lot better than it is now. And so he knew that what he needed to do was destroy the very fiber of this land. He came along and made, I jotted this down here, we in America needed to make some changes. America would be better, and I'm sure some of you have heard this, but America would be better without the Bible. We don't say that, but there's a lost and dying crowd out there that says, well, you religious fanatics, you always got all these rules and regulations. So they're proposing that our country would be better without the Bible, be better without prayer, be better without families. That has become reality. They're of that persuasion. We don't need families. Our nation would be better without rules. They tell me there's a movie, I think it was, but in it, no right, no wrong, no rules for me. And let me repeat that again, because I'm probably repeating something I may have said from behind his sacred desk before, but no right, no wrong, no rules for me. So we have brought up a culture that believes that as a foundational stone for the way they ought to live. That culture on the outside of this building right now, they don't want any rules. They play sports without rules. They play sports without keeping score because they don't want any right or wrong. They don't want any rules. And that carries through from not just a little sport game, but that carries through to a marriage. That carries through to a church. It carries through to a culture. And so what I'm saying to you this morning, we want America back. I've often dreamed of just turning back the hands of the clock and watching the Model T Fords running up and down the street, you know, going back a period of time. I believe we'd be better going back a period of time almost than trying to fix what we're in right now. There's a lot of dent and damage to the culture that are going to take a miracle from God to get them banged out. But places like here and with your mindset, we can bang out some dents. I hope you haven't given up on America. Righteousness exalted the nation. So we need a people who have set out the idea, we want to live righteously. Well, if that's the way, we need to have some idea of what righteousness is. We're going to discuss that in just a minute. But we need to have some idea, and we only have that mindset. There was a gentleman who did something that he shouldn't do in the course of playing basketball. I'll not give you any more details than that, but he did something that he shouldn't be doing. And somebody who was out there on the court said, "Wicked." He said, "Well, that's not very kind." But what he did wasn't very spiritual and it wasn't very right. Every once in a while, we may need to say to somebody, "Wicked." We may just, you know, I'm a suggestion to you that you walk up to the cashier in the shop, right? And she's got a miniskirt on. You say, "Wicked." But is it or is it not wicked? You're looking at me strange now. You need God's wisdom on how to handle it, but it may be wicked. And so what's happened to our fundamental churches? We have been silenced. We'll say wicked inside here, but we're not necessarily desirous to say wicked on the outside. I'll tell you why I got saved. I was a wicked sinner. And I would assume if you're saved, you would attest to the fact that you got saved because you were a saint and you were already saved. No. You got saved because you recognized that somewhere along the way, you did enough to label yourself as wicked. Some of you are sitting out there saying, "I didn't come to church with a bald-headed preacher to tell me I was wicked." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That sounds like wicked to me. And how can you eradicate that? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fountain. Nothing but the blood. And so as Christian folks, we've been redeemed. We've been washed. We're cleansed. They said, "We will destroy this nation. We will get this nation in the 60s and the 50s to make a choice between conviction or compromise." Conviction or compromise. Conviction or compromise. I hope you could take out a pen and write down a dozen or two convictions that you have. Not preferences, but I mean convictions that you would die for. The attorney, Christian attorney David Gibbs, and he has defended some folks in court of law. And he concluded that there are about six or seven convictions that are defendable in the court. And he has a list of the things that are necessary. I hope you have some convictions that you are going to live for and live by. and be willing to die for. In the 60s or 50s. And I jotted 10 of these things down. And as I was jotting them down, I said, well, this is boring. This is boring. You're going to stand up in front of these people and read a list. It's like a grocery list. There's nothing more exciting, fellas, when your wife sends you to the store with a list. Anyway, these things, I believe, changed in the 50s and 60s. You were around, some of you were. The music changed from easy listening to hard rock to acid rock. It changed. Something happened. The words changed. The tempo changed. The backbeat changed. It all happened somewhere in the 50s and 60s. Parenting changed. We're going to have family council. That didn't work back home where I was growing up. Family council was a stick or the board or anything my mother could get her hands on. That was the extent of the family council. There was no debating and arguing with it. You know, you didn't bring in an attorney. Parents didn't worry about somebody crying. My wife's... Anyway, I won't tell stories about my wife. See her later. She'll tell you all the good stories. Parenting changed. Some of you might remember Father Knows Best. That was an acceptable philosophy there with that concept, just statement, Father Knows Best. And that was changed to All in the Family. The devil said, we're going to destroy the Christian nation, the influence and the effect. We're hard-pressed today to find kids to go into the mission field. And a lot of that's because of the way they are being brought up. Morality changed. Whatever happened to absolute right and wrong? There was a period of time when we had absolute right and wrong, and it's been changed to anything goes. Our schools have changed. Teacher control, parent control, was changed to student control. I think I know a little bit more about what a child ought to learn in second grade than that child knows. Third grade, I'm not exactly sure, but I know as much as what he needs to learn in second. No, you follow what I'm saying? In other words, somebody needs to be an authority. Mom and Dad, let me refresh you. Let me kind of tell you again. You are in control. Little Johnny is not in control. You ever been frustrated when you're in Walmart and that little 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old is in control of Mom and Daddy, and he's got a little toy out and he's crying there, and Mom is saying, you're not going to get it, you're not going to get it, and you know the rest of the story because when they're down in the checkout aisle, who's got that toy? Uh-huh. Schools changed from teacher control to child control. Churches changed from being fundamental, evangelical, soul-winning to ecumenical. Dress code changed in the 50s and 60s. Dress code is a, how do you say this graciously? But it has changed. Amen? Y'all still here? Are you praying or just being quiet? Are you saying, I sure hope he doesn't go down that road? I sure hope he doesn't touch that topic. One of the things that's changed is somewhat, and this is not written down in the notes, but somewhat has changed the fear of the pulpit. I was talking with a gentleman just a few moments ago. You need to be careful what you say from behind the pulpit. Because of language, and somebody might be here, a social spy. And I can't believe what that preacher had to say about. And you can catch my trend that I'm not even saying anything about. Lest you be one of those social spies. And that's, you say, well, you have complete liberty. That's not what's happening in our pulpits across America. I don't know, but I believe this is being recorded. So what does that do to the independent, fundamental Bible-believing Baptist preacher? Because he wants to tell you what the Bible has to say in Romans chapter 1. And some folks are going to get their nose bent out of shape. because they don't have a Romans chapter 1 in their Bible, or they make no reference to it. So my suggestion would be find Romans chapter 1. That's not in my notes. Dress code changed. Culture changed from family center to organizational center. Politics changed from statements to politicians. Marriage has changed. Underline this one. Marriage has changed from permanent to temporary. Ma and I have been married for 53 years. When we got married, we said, well, we'll try it for a year and renew the contract. If it goes to 5 years, we'll renew the contract. We'll get a lawyer. If it goes to 10 years, they'll draw up some real official documents. And if it goes to 53 years, we'll call it good. You laugh and you chuckle about that, but that's the way our marriage culture has gone. I don't want to romp and stomp, and I'm trying to be gracious. But in 1900, one out of 1,000, today it's one out of 2 marriages ending in divorce. Somebody needs to warn these little kids as they grow up. That's not. This is what God says. Turn now in your Bible, if you would, please. And I'm not going to be much longer, but I do want you to get this. We want America back. We need to recognize that things have changed. We want an America not like we had yesterday or a month ago or a year ago or 10 years or 20, 30, 40 years ago. We want to have a conglomerate of individuals who live by the book, act by the book, read the book, do the best they possibly can to stay in the book. If my people, see, you know this verse, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, do me a favor. Many a time when I sit out there and the preacher comes to this verse and reads the verse, it's kind of like, I think I heard this before. I think somebody has said this before, but the first time you heard it, it was dynamic, it was exciting, it was an indicator of how and what we can do to preserve and protect the little bit that we have left in this nation. If my people, which are called by my name. So just assume that you're hearing it for the very first time. If my people, this group here assembled are God's people. Just because you're in the church doesn't mean you're born again. But if you're born again, you ought to be in the church. And so you are God's people. And the reason you're here is because you're God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, you're not a Buddhist, you're a Christian. You're not another, you're a Christian. You say, well, I'm a Baptist. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has covered all your sins. You're a Christian. If my people, which are called by my name, I'm glad I'm called a Christian. I'm glad I stand without apology for the old time gospel. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. If my people, which are called by my name, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Their lifestyle distinguished them, and the faith that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ made them Christians. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Shall humble themselves. Shall humble themselves. Stay humble. Stay dependent upon God. Stay needful of God. Think more of God than you do yourself. I'm going to be bold. Think more of God than you do your own creature comfort. Okay, listen to me now. I'm doing my best to preach God's word as an ambassador and representative of the Lord. It's warm in here. Think more of God, not me, but think more of God. This is your only occasion or several times of being in God's house. Think more of God. If my people, which are called by my, shall humble themselves. It's all about God. Humble yourself. Say, only one life will soon be passed. This is what I want to do for God. I want to be in church. I want to sing. I want to testify. I want to praise God. I want to be with God's people. That's why you're here. not to make an impression on someone else, but to make an impression on God and for God, and then secondary to somebody else. Somebody else needs to know that you went to church. Somebody needs to know that you enjoy being in church. Somebody needs to know that you put a lot of money in that. I don't know what you do with the box in the back there, but you put a lot of money in the offering plate. The offering plate doesn't go up and down. But anyway, you put a lot of money invested in God's house. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. If I was to raise your right hand, swear after me, I believe, you know, not. In other words, if you were had to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And pray. And pray. Prayer is a distancing, diminishing phenomena in a lot of Christian folks. I'm throwing stones. I don't know you. You hardly know me. But be careful that our prayer life doesn't diminish the point of no return. Amen? And we need to be praying. And I think men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that'll be part of our lifestyle, praying. Any place, anytime, anywhere, praying. I'm going to give you a lesson on praying. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You want to kind of clean up just a little bit when you stand or kneel in front of royalty. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Uh-huh. And I'm challenging myself what to say and what not to say. The old time hellfire and brimstone preachers were called hellfire and brimstone preachers. Why? Because they would, for your good and for your spiritual well-being, they would up one side and down the other side. What do you think kept America strong and righteous? The old-time preacher who stood up behind the sacred desk and let you know that watching that idiot box, as many hours as you watch that idiot box in the course of a day or a week or a month, is wrong. Can I get an amen? Uh-huh. I took our teenagers to snow camp, talked to them about the stupidity of the idiot box. And I brought one of them with me. Not only the teenagers, but the idiot box. And I took a blanket and I put it on top of the idiot box and I took a baseball bat. And I said, this is what you ought to do with your TV set. And I smashed the TV. Was it a good TV? Yes, it was a good TV. It was before, but not after. You know, one of the contributing factors to the destruction of a nation and the morality of our teenagers is the idiot box. Uh-huh. In that motorhome out there, we've got two idiot boxes, one on the inside, one on the outside. I don't know if the one on the outside works, and people want to see what that thing is on the inside, so we push a button, it comes up, and it goes back down with the same button. Don't need an idiot box. And most of the, you can take a good, godly Christian film and put it in your player, and it can come up on the screen. Don't get me wrong. But that one that sits in the guy's living room or den, and they're watching whatever they're watching, is not drawing them closer to God. Now, why is America sliding down the tools, and why is it going to hell? Because we need a bunch of folks to say, hey, I don't care what you say to Philadelphia, whatever. And I'm going to stand up here and pound baseball and pound football. And, you know, you're going to put your jacket on and get up and leave. You're not even going to say goodbye to me. But do you think, maybe Billy Sunday did. Maybe some of these other guys did. But we've got too much worldliness. Uh-huh. And there's not a better place to sanctify. Let me say this. You don't have as far to go as what I've been in some other churches. Okay? Can you smile at me? You don't have as far to go, but you do need to go. Getting a little closer to where God wants us to be. What we're going to do, we're going to clone you. You know what that is? Cloning. And I think I've said it before, but I'm going to pick one man out and one lady out. Let's just pick out one man for the sake of it. And we're going to make every man in this church just like you. Okay? Okay? Is that good? Do I have a volunteer? Maybe I'll just pick somebody out. Can you volunteer? Many of us are saying, no, don't pick me. Don't pick me. But would we once again, and I've said it before, I know I've said it before, but would we say, Lord, here am I. Send me. And I'm not speaking on my part. I'm using it by way of illustration. But would we not want to be reproducible? I want to marry Daddy when I grow up. My girls used to sing. That was a blessing tune to the ears. You got a little girl, don't you? Is that her? We need to teach her that song. I want to marry Daddy when I grow up. Wouldn't that be great? Huh? It's good enough for you. I know, I like that. You're still working on them. Yeah, that's good. All right, let me go on. I don't know how I got down that road, but I want to get off of it quick. And seek my face. Getting back to God, God's word, we're going to seek what God wants. And those things that I just rambled about, may God give you wisdom. And turn from their wicked way. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. Now you got the idea about TV on that. Then God said, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You and I agree that this nation, America, needs healing. And sometimes you don't heal without just a little surgery, just a little cutting, just a little digging, just a little bit. And then it opens a door for healing. May God continue to raise up here in this place a mighty army standing without a pause for the old time gospel. Been a privilege to be here today. I appreciated the songs that you were singing. And we want to leave here with a song. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. So we want to leave in that way. So the song leader is going to come. He's going to lead us in a song. I suggest you make some type of decision. Don't listen to preaching without making something. Lord, help me to be a better wife. Lord, help me to be a better husband. Lord, help me to be a better son or daughter. Lord, help me to be a better church person. Help me to do something with my life for you. Just ask God to help you do something there.
There's within my heart a
Savior. Mm-hmm. The Bible. Well, both songs are good for the end of the service. Let's have a word. Father, we pray that as we leave this place, that others would see a difference in us and ask us the reason for the hope that lies within us. And may we answer those folks with meekness and godly fear, so that others can know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that your blessing will be upon us as we dismiss from this place. May you be honored and glorified by all that was said.